This is Paul Masetta. Welcome to Universal Influence, 101 ways to make anyone say yes. The power of personal influence is unlimited. This is probably the biggest truth that gave impetus to the writing of this book and the creation of this program. When I first started developing this program, I wondered if it was possible to combine the best of all of the fields of influence and place them in a singular volume for readers to read and apply to their daily lives. With so many books on influence and too few usable titles, this program was really forthcoming because people needed a powerful volume that would teach them everything they would need to influence people through body language, verbal language, psychology, etc. The program is divided into 5 different modules or sections, which include body language or nonverbal language, spoken language, overcoming objections, neuro-linguistic programming, and psychology. Each distinct field has something special to offer to the master influencer. What you have here is a massive toolbox of influence tactics that will help you handle any situation that requires persuasion or influence. Why did I choose 5 different domains instead of just one? Well, we all know for a fact that sometimes one system of strategies may not work. For example, if you're talking to someone on your phone or your mobile phone, you can't really use body language because obviously the other person won't be able to see you. In other situations, nonverbal language would have more weight than verbal language because people would pay more attention to your body language as opposed to the verbal content of your message. When dealing with complex issues within a group, you might want to try influence strategies from psychology, specifically social psychology. NLP, or neuro-linguistic programming, is another special field that deals with programming the mind to accomplish personal excellence. Techniques from NLP can also be used to influence other people. You can use language patterns and sets to get the elusive yes from even the most resistant audience member. The possibilities are endless when you have universal influence, 101 ways to influence the mind of anyone. Welcome to your new journey in mastering universal persuasion and influence. We begin with body language. Tactic number 1, learn to read the signs. Body language works so well because you are accessing the deepest emotions and thoughts of others by reading their physical expressions. People have an inborn tendency to express themselves through gestures and facial expressions. We can't modify this tendency any more than we can modify the fact that we have opposable thumbs. But it takes more than just being observant to be able to effectively read body language. To be able to understand what the other person is really trying to say to you, you must be able to read gestures and expressions in clusters. For example, if a person suddenly frowned, does it mean that he or she dislikes you? That singular expression taken out of context and its gesture cluster is meaningless because you won't be able to associate it with other gestures. You have to find associated expressions and gestures to make a valid interpretation of what's in front of you at the moment. If you read isolated expressions and base your decisions and words on those isolated expressions alone, you might not be able to influence the other person because you keep missing what he's really trying to convey. A body language cluster is similar to a verbal sentence. And like a verbal sentence, a nonverbal sentence needs at least 3 elements to work. So, before making a conclusion, you need to link at least 3 distinct body language signals coming from the other person. You also need to determine if the signals you're picking up are actually related. For example, if the other person crossed his arms, frowned, and suddenly had a bad coughing fit, do you think the last part was related to the first 2 parts of the nonverbal message? You can hone your ability to read other people's body language by watching movies and turning off the sound. Your sensitivity to body language will become heightened as your brain works to double the interpretation of the body language of the actors and actresses in the movie. You can also observe people when you are in the mall or in the park and pay attention to what they do. Number two, look for consistency between nonverbal language and verbal language. How will you know if the other person has already been persuaded or influenced? Check for congruence between what he's saying and what he's expressing unknowingly through his body language. Most people don't realize that the bulk of their message is contained in nonverbal language, so they keep their guard down when it comes to expressing themselves physically. People are very guarded about what they say, but they don't know how to conceal what their facial expressions and physical gestures convey. This is one of the biggest advantages of master influencers who are adept in both verbal communication and nonverbal communication. You would be able to monitor both channels of communication and check if the other person is confidently expressing the same thing through both channels. If the person in front of you is saying, "I believe you," but his body language is saying, "I don't believe one word that you're saying," then you may have to uncover the hidden objections and counter these objections to be able to influence the other person. You can also use this technique to see if you've been able to establish rapport with your audience. Verbal responses are easy to fake, especially when the audience is trying to be really polite. But what if you really want to know if the audience is responding to your message? How do you do that? Again, all you have to do is look at your audience's body language. If your audience is showing signs of being distracted or distant, you might not be making a full impact on your audience at all. In such cases, you have to stop and reevaluate what you should do next, because what you're doing at the moment is not having a very beneficial effect on your social interaction. A master influencer must move fast when he detects incongruence between what is being said and what is being expressed through the face and the body. If you move quickly enough, you may be able to change the course of the social interaction and create a lasting positive impression on the other party. Number three, read nonverbal messages in context. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary has two definitions for the word context. The first is the parts of a discourse that surround a word or passage and can throw light on its meaning. Number two, the interrelated conditions in which something exists or occurs. Interestingly enough, the word itself was derived from two Latin words, com and textere, which literally meant to weave. This reveals to us that language in itself is meaningless without context. You can't make sense of words, verbal or otherwise, if you don't see the context in which the words were spoken. Nonverbal messages must also be read and understood within their proper context. For example, if the other party suddenly shivered in front of you, does that mean that what you were saying actually spooked the other party? If you read the gesture and expression in isolation, you may come up with that conclusion, like that you're a scary speaker indeed. But if you look at the other potential causes of the behavior, you will be able to come up with a more informed conclusion as to what the other person is really trying to say. Not all body language signals are significant, the same way that not all of our words are groundbreaking and important. You also have to be able to sift through the mess of expressions coming from the other party and trace the ones that are relevant to the matter at hand. As a master influencer, it's also important to analyze gestures based on the possibility that they may be habitual expressions of the other person. If a gesture is habitual, it may be meaningless because the other person does it just because he or she finds the gesture or expression nice or desirable. Some people flick their hands back and forth while talking, regardless of what they're feeling about the idea on the table, while some smile broadly, even if they disagree wholeheartedly with what the other person is saying. You have to be extra careful when reading nonverbal messages in this type of situation, because you might not be able to detect and resolve objections to your argument if you don't even understand the actual message that the other person is trying to convey. Number four, small gestures and expressions are equally important. Some people make the mistake of ignoring small gestures because they think that in the grand scheme of things, the small things are irrelevant. Well, I'm here to tell you right now that nothing could be further from the truth. Oftentimes, the most essential gestures are performed at a very small scale and at a high speed. Some adults can be guarded or defensive about what they say and what they convey with their physical gestures and expressions, unlike kids who are still developing the gestures that would later be a part of their repertoire of signals in adulthood. Here's a good example. Have you ever seen a child tell a small lie? Like, who ate the last cookie in the jar? Notice that most kids, usually those who are younger than 5, will try to cover their mouths as they say, "No, I didn't eat the cookie." The mouth covering gesture is a sign that the other party is telling a lie. In adulthood, the mouth covering gesture is scaled down and it's done at high speed. A teenager or adult who's telling a lie may suddenly touch the rim of the mouth for a second before speaking. The small, insignificant movement is actually the same full-blown mouth covering gesture used by small children. It's only been scaled down, so it won't be so obvious. The mouth covering gesture can also be performed in such a way that it's not apparent that the other person is trying to cover his mouth. For example, a person might touch the tip of his nose with his index fingers. Hands are clasped, so it would appear that he's just trying to scratch an itchy nose. Blinking is also another micro signal that you should watch out for. Unnatural blinking during a conversation usually means that the other person is hiding something from you. Persuasion would be difficult if the other person had not laid down all of his cards on the table. In such cases, you would need to draw out the other person even more to get to the bottom of the situation so you can proceed in the right way. Number 5, separate fake nonverbal signals from genuine signals. I've been asked this question many times in the past. Is it possible to actually fake body language? The answer, the simple answer anyway, is yes, it's possible to fake body language, but it would take a very long time before a person can control all of the macro and micro signals given off by the body during social interactions. You see, we can only control a very small percentage of all of the body signals that we give out when we speak to someone. You can smile, but if you absolutely dislike what's in front of you, then your body language will immediately work to reflect this truth. It's hardwired into us. People who make it a habit to deceive people usually fake most signals successfully, but not all. There are still many nonverbal signals that we have no control over. And as a master influencer, it's your job to catch these signals. It's hard to fake body language when the receiver of the signals is a woman because women are generally more perceptive than males. As much as we might not like to admit that, it's been scientifically proven. Males, on the other hand, can learn to be more perceptive so they don't become easy prey to con men and other deceptive individuals. So how exactly can you become more perceptive? Well, you have to be able to separate the real signals from the fake ones. For example, if the other person is nodding and smiling at what you're saying and is expressing, "I like what I'm hearing," you might want to check the cheeks and the eye region. A genuine smile is relaxed and makes the corners of the eyes crinkle just a little. The cheeks should also be relaxed to accommodate the movement of the mouth muscles. This is a genuine smile and it conveys pleasure, agreement, or happiness. A fake smile is limited to the mouth region only. The eyes and cheeks are often stiff and non-expressive. It is possible to fake body language, but you would have to be a very deceptive person to be able to fake it for long periods of time. The body doesn't like hiding what is really in the mind, so deceptive people need lots of energy to cover up their body language. Number 6. Express openness at all times. Openness is an important facet of human communication. When you appear open, you're expressing the following to your audience. 1, you're not a threat to them. 2, you're not there to take away any of their resources. 3, you're not there to harm them in any way. 4, you're telling the truth. Number five, you are there to hear them out as much as sharing your ideas with them. And number six, you're there to possibly raise their social status. You can express openness easily by keeping the palms of your hand visible whenever you speak to people. Historically, this gesture is used to show that no deadly weapon like a knife is being concealed in a person's hands. You can express openness by showing the palm of one of your hands or by showing both palms. Either way, you're communicating that you're telling the truth and you have nothing to hide. Showing the palm of the hand gives the other party a reason to think that you are indeed genuine in your intentions and you're not trying to hide anything when you're relaying your thoughts and ideas. This is very important when you're offering something that carries some degree of risk. For example, financial risk or monetary transactions. If the other party feels that he knows everything there is to know about the offer, he would feel less inclined to say no because he will trust you more easily. But if you keep your hands closed through the conversation, this small signal may backfire on you because the other party might think that you're trying to hide something. There is nothing more harmful to a master influencer than a backfiring strategy, because if this happens to you, you're going to have to do damage control before trying to persuade the other person again. It would be best to avoid harmful situations so you don't have to perform the damage control at all. Number seven, constant practice creates a perfect master influencer. In the previous section, I discussed with you the importance of expressing openness whenever you're trying to influence someone, because this will break down resistance quickly and it will also help you establish harmony and rapport with the other party faster. The open palm gesture expresses not only openness, but also sincerity. When a person is sincere, he will never consciously choose to deceive anyone. The best thing about using this gesture is that over time, the habit of using this gesture rubs off on yourself and you won't feel the need to hide things from people. You will become a more genuine speaker and influencer, and people would be able to detect this immediately when you're in their presence. Using gestures of openness offer amazing opportunity to improve your public persona or the image of yourself that you project to people whenever you're in social situations. If you stick to positive body language, you will become the embodiment of influence and trust. However, if you choose to use defensive or critical body language, you will also embody the negativity that these gestures and expressions represent. The law of cause and effect comes into play here. If your body leads the mind through positive body language, the mind follows suit. Body language is clear proof of the mind-body connection. The principle of the mind-body connection stipulates that the mind has a direct effect on the body and vice versa. So when the body tries to lead the mind through body language, the mind follows suit. When you use happy, positive gestures, you will feel happy and positive. But when you start using gestures like arm barriers, like when you cross your arms, you begin to think critically of the other party and you will start feeling defensive. All of this is happening because you chose to use an arm barrier gesture. Here's another advantage when you use positive gestures. When you convey openness and genuineness, the other party will feel obliged to reciprocate to the positive values that you embody during the social interaction. So, if the other party is planning to lie to you, he will feel pressured to not lie to you because the principle of reciprocity doesn't approve of such behavior. Number eight, different palm gestures can make or break a deal. Hand gestures are the most powerful means of communicating emotions and mind states to other people. And because of the power that these gestures yield, it's also very easy to make mistakes when using them. There are three hand palm gestures that are commonly used in almost every social interaction: the palm up gesture, the palm down gesture, and the finger pointing gesture with the palm closed. Among these three gestures, the most effective one in terms of influencing people is the palm up gesture. Why? Because the palm up gesture signifies truthfulness, genuineness, and submissiveness as well. Now, don't get me wrong. Submissiveness in itself is not enough to be influential. But if you can convey this particular trait while you're bringing in the heavy artillery, like the verbal content of the influential message, you will have a much higher success rate. Showing the palm during a conversation also shows that you're no threat and what you're bringing to the table is beneficial to the other party as well as yourself. Let's talk about the other gestures. The palm down gesture is not as helpful as the palm up gesture because it's not an equalizing gesture. When a person signals with his palms down, he's expressing that he's superior to his audience, and the audience may or may not react favorably to such expressions. When you ask someone to do something for you with your palm or palms down, you're giving the impression that you're ordering the other person around. Try it for yourself. Have a friend listen to you and ask them something with the palm up and with the palm down. Ask your friend if the hand gesture made any difference. 9 times out of 10, people will say that they felt that their status was somehow lowered because of the gesture used. The third gesture is the pointed finger gesture. This gesture should be avoided at all costs because it is demeaning and immediately lowers the status of the other party. No one likes to have their status lowered, and so people can become even more defensive when they habitually use or see this gesture. Number 9, influence and handshakes, what you should know. Simple handshakes can actually express power and control in social situations. As an influencer, you should always strive to present yourself as an equalizing force to others because you will get their trust more easily this way. You can easily show this through the handshake. First things first, you have to determine whether or not you should reach first to shake the other person's hand. If you're in a familiar environment, like your home or your office, etc., it's imperative that you reach out first to shake the other person's hand because you are the one welcoming the other person into your own personal domain. However, if you're at a party and you're introduced to bosses and other top brass individuals, as I like to call them, you might want to wait for the other person to shake your hand. If you reach out first, others might mistake the gesture as a challenge to authority or even worse, being too big for your own boots. You have to be sensitive of hierarchies, implied or not. When you're in an unfamiliar situation, you have to avoid offending others. If you're the one with a rank and you meet others, you should reach out immediately because this will equalize the playing field. The people receiving the handshake will feel that you have raised their social status and they will like and trust you for doing that. What does an equalizing handshake look like? To perform an equalizing handshake, make sure that the palm of your hand is vertical and parallel to the other person's palm. Shake it firmly, but don't crush the other person's hand. Try matching the handshake strength of the other person because you're the one who is trying to exert influence. If you have a strong grip, tone down the strength of the grip if the other person has a somewhat weak handshake. Using excessive force during a handshake may convey that you're a dominant individual and people might actually think that they should watch their backs because you would try to control them. If your handshake is limp and weak, you will come across as a weak and submissive individual, and others might take advantage of you because of this. Number 10, put power players in their place with a counter handshake. In the previous section, I discussed the importance of using an equalizing handshake when meeting people for the first time. But what should you do if you meet someone who tries to dominate you from the outset? Should you allow this person to get away with this bad habit of trying to dominate people, or should you counter his gesture with an effective counter handshake? As a master influencer, I would recommend that you don't let the other party drive you down to submissiveness. Use a counter handshake if you have to. A counter handshake is simply a strategic handshake that diffuses or disarms the handshake of a power player. Your first line of defense against dominant handshakes is the equalizing handshake that we discussed earlier. Keep your hand parallel or on top of the other person's hand if he's trying to put your hand under. A firmer grip may be necessary to avoid being symbolically dominated by the other person. You can easily spot power players by observing how they offer their hands during a handshake. Power players often offer an almost completely face-down hand when shaking other people's hands. They might not realize that they're being forced to submit the other person symbolically as they shake hands. If someone offers you a face-down hand during a handshake, don't put your hand under the other person's hand. Instead, reach out as if you're doing a regular handshake and shake the hand even if your palms will not touch or meet. This might result in somewhat of a lopsided handshake, but lopsided is better than being dominated by a power player. Also, remember to step forward with the opposite leg as you shake the power player's hand. Another way to counter a power player's handshake is to step forward with your right foot as you correct the power player's hand, since it's facing down. Do this quickly. As you greet the other person during the handshake, chances are the power player will be too shocked to make another counter move, and you will win that round automatically. Number 11, conquer the moment with a smile. In the world of influence, appearing to be submissive gives the influencer the upper hand because the audience will have no reason to feel defensive during the social interaction. You won't be able to establish rapport with the other party if you appear to be too dominant or controlling. One of the easiest ways to appear non-hostile to people is by smiling. Smiling is more than just a submissive facial expression. It tells people that you're not there to harm them and that you want to be accepted by those around you. Once a person expresses the desire to be accepted, people around him would be more willing to lower their defenses. How effective is smiling when disarming people? One study showed that smiling while apologizing to another person is actually more effective than not smiling. You have nothing to lose, so it would be best to smile more frequently during social interactions so that you will have little trouble disarming people's mental defenses. And smiling is contagious. People are actually hardwired to mirror expressions like smiling. So even if you're in a room full of serious and edgy bosses, your smile would level the playing field little by little until you have the upper hand. Smiling is also viewed as a token or gift by others. And by virtue of the principle of reciprocity, people must return smiles, even those given by strangers. Smiling, even if you feel pressured or stressed out, is a must. So just do it. Don't think about how you feel or what you must be doing throughout the day. At the vital moment when you have to influence someone, I invite you to smile as happily as you can because this will make your life much easier. I can promise you that. Smiling is universally recognized, and it appears that the human brain was designed in such a way that it would actually be able to decode or decipher a smile even if it was lopsided or even turned upside down. Number 12, avoid arm barriers at all costs. A few sections back, we discussed the importance of being open to one's audience so you can establish rapport more easily. There is one particular group of gestures that can easily ruin the image of openness, the arm barrier gestures. Arm barrier gestures are even more common than palm gestures because people don't even think twice about using them in every social situation. As the name implies, arm barrier gestures are performed with the arms, and these gestures stimulate putting up a wall or blockade around a person. Crossing the arms near the chest is the most common arm barrier gesture. This gesture protects the heart and lungs from any sudden attacks. This is one of the main reasons why arm barrier gestures are horrible when you're trying to influence others. You're showing people that you are threatened and you feel the need to protect yourself. Using arm barrier gestures also communicates to others that you're not sure about what you're saying or offering. How will your audience be confident with what you have to say if you appear unconfident? You're not going to be able to do it. If you appear unconfident, your audience might end up being suspicious or critical about what you're saying, and that's never a good thing. You want your audience to be as open and as uncritical of your thoughts and ideas because eventually you also want them to do something for you, which is really the whole point of trying to influence them in the first place. If the other party starts using the arm barrier gesture, it means you're probably losing ground. Remember, the mind follows body and vice versa. If a person adopts negative body language, can that lead to negative thinking? The answer is an absolute yes. You can break the negative cycle by offering the other party something to read or at least something to hold. The arm barrier must be dismantled so you can continue with your other persuasion and influence strategies. The longer a person's arm barrier stays in that place, the more heightened the resistance to your ideas becomes. Number 13, physical touch can do miracles. Touch is the last sense to go, even in the face of advanced age, and it's probably the most powerful of all the senses. Through touch, a mother can convey love and care to her newborn child. And through touch, a master influencer can convey respect, integrity, and sincerity to others. A study conducted by researchers from the University of Minnesota showed that a beneficial response can be elicited from another person if the other person was slightly touched on the elbow for about 3 seconds. In the study, the researcher left a coin in a telephone booth and hid. The researchers wanted to see if people would actually return the coin to the original owner. In the first part of the study, they didn't touch anyone's elbow. The result, only 23% of the total respondents in the first party returned the coin. But in the second part of the study, where they integrated elbow touching, the return rate for the coin was a staggering 68%. So the next time you're in an appropriate situation, you have to be in an appropriate situation, try touching the other person's elbow for a few seconds when you're trying to elicit agreement. You might be surprised at how disarming touch can be, even in the most pressured situations. Why does touching the elbow work? Well, the elbow is considered as public space because it's far from the chest and abdomen, so people can touch the elbow and not elicit a negative response. Second, touch creates instant impact on other people. And finally, touch works because it creates a short yet memorable connection between two or more people. This is one of the reasons why politicians like to press the flesh during campaigns. When a politician reaches out to touch people's elbows and shake hands, they are creating an instant bond with throngs of strangers who might vote for them. Number 14, beware of harmful hand gestures. Many hand gestures can be helpful in influencing others because they help break down mistrust or doubt. But there are some hand gestures that can really destroy a positive message because they will always signify negativity. Let's talk about these hand gestures so you can avoid these hand gestures as much as possible during social interactions. The first gesture that you want to avoid is the clenched fists gesture. I know that you've probably seen this gesture somewhere, and the person performing the gesture may even be smiling because it's a very common expression. Some people say that they are simply being comfortable when they clench their hands on top of a table. Well, according to experts in this particular gesture field, this gesture actually signifies uncertainty and anxiety. To add insult to injury, this gesture actually encourages poor blood flow to the fingers, so it's common to see cold, clammy knuckles when this gesture is held for long periods of time. If you see your subject performing this gesture, you can break the gesture by offering the other person something to hold, like a business card, a pen, etc. The second harmful gesture is the steeple gesture. The steeple gesture occurs when a person places his hands in front and places the tips of his fingers against each other, like he's holding a thin mirror in the middle. It kind of looks like a spider doing push-ups on a mirror. This is a harmful gesture because it communicates that you are superior and smug at the same time. You don't want that kind of impression from people because it triggers defensive behavior in them. The steeple gesture also gives people the impression that the doer of the gesture is naturally arrogant, another big no-no when you're trying to influence or persuade others. The third gesture that you should avoid is placing your hands behind your back. This gesture fully exposes the chest and abdomen and expresses superiority in every angle. However, if you're in a situation where power players are around, you can use the hands behind the back gesture to avoid looking submissive. Apart from this rare occurrence, don't use it, especially when you want someone to agree with your ideas. Number 15, learn how people expose their own doubt and deceit. Persuading and influencing others is hard enough. But what if you're faced with a person or a group of people who make it a habit of deceiving others? As a master influencer, you should be adept not only in persuading others, but also in detecting lies and deceit. Deceptive individuals often give away their positions by giving off clear signals unknowingly. The first sign that someone is trying to deceive you is the eye rub gesture. A person would suddenly close his eyes and rub one or both of them for no reason as he speaks. This gesture is more common in men than women. The eye-rubbing gesture may also communicate that the other party doubts what you've just said. The second sign is when the other person touches or pulls his ears during the conversation. The second gesture is called the ear grab. This gesture may signify that the other person doesn't want to hear what you're saying or that he may want to speak right now. Variations of the ear grab include touching the inside of the ear with the index finger and folding the top of the ear to cover the lower half of the ear. The third gesture is neck scratching. When someone tells you that he agrees with you 100% but begins scratching his neck, the other person is probably just trying to end the conversation. Another sign to look out for is when a person suddenly starts touching the nose during a conversation. Touching is different from scratching. A person who has a really itchy nose will scratch, not touch. Studies reveal that when a person is trying to get away with deceit, blood pressure rises, and this makes the nose a little itchy. It's the body's way of expressing deceit, and it's your job to recognize that sign. Yet another sign of potential deceit is pulling on the collar. Why do people do this? Why do they pull on their collar? Well, deceit produces changes in blood pressure, and it also changes the general feeling around the neck and face. People use the collar pulling gesture in an attempt to counter the strange tingling sensation found around the neck region. Number 16. Your arms can convey vulnerability. The human body can express a variety of emotions and mental states, including complete vulnerability. Even if you don't feel vulnerable, people can still see you as a target as you attempt to influence and persuade them if you look like what I call a sitting duck. The absolute worst thing that you can do during a presentation or a conversation is to place both your arms at your sides. This unconscious gesture is a real deal breaker because it renders you in a frozen and vulnerable state. When your arms drop to your sides, when you're trying to communicate a message to people, your mind will automatically detect the incongruence between what you're trying to do, which is actively persuade other people, and what your body is doing. The body has become a potential target. The primitive mind, the part of the human mind that governs instincts, also sends out a signal to play dead because there is potential threat nearby. The worst thing about this posture is that it slowly begins to affect the speaker's speech rate, vocal projection, and things of that nature. Since the body is emulating an animal that is pretending to play dead, the brain sends out additional signals that further reduce the impact of the speaker. This posture is also problematic because when you put your arms to your sides, it's either you want to move, fight or flight, or sleep, meaning you want to play dead. You will end up looking overly defensive or asleep. If you feel threatened by your audience, you will begin to shift your feet back and forth. This movement will make it hard for your audience to focus on your message because it would appear that you're anxious about something. Remember, during live interactions, people pay attention to your body language first before listening to the verbal content of the message. Your audience will also pay attention to the congruence between your nonverbal message and your verbal message. If there is incongruence between the two, your audience will think that you are hiding something from them, and that's never a good thing. Number 17, Gain the trust of your audience instantly. The best thing about body language is that you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand the principles and apply them to any situation that requires persuasion and influence. For example, did you know that you could gain people's trust instantly by gesturing from a particular plane of the body? You see, the body is divided into different planes. Each plane communicates differently to people. If you want to appear genuine and truthful to people when you're laying down the facts of your argument, it would be best to gesture from the level of the navel. Imagine that you have a horizontal plane emanating from your navel. Your hands and arms should only move along this horizontal plane whenever you're gesturing to your audience. Whenever you gesture from this horizontal plane, you will feel calmer and more in control of the situation. You will also be able to project your voice more clearly when you use this communication plane. In Eastern lore, the navel has been traditionally recognized as the seat of human power. According to ancient lore, inner power is stored within this region. It's also considered to be a person's center of gravity. So whenever you use this center and the horizontal plane that surrounds it, you embody balance and power at the same time. The more you access this plane, the more balanced and at peace you will feel. This is especially important when you feel anxious or afraid of your audience. Instead of wallowing in your anxiety, simply access this plane and let nature take care of the rest. Your anxiety and self-doubt will melt away as your body and mind align with your physical center. How important is this plane of communication? We all know that the body responds instantly to stress. We can't stop the body from sending out chemical signals that begin the stress response. What we can do is to reduce the stress response so the anxiety and stress won't take over. You can accomplish this by accessing the exact same plane that allows you to express truthfulness to people. Number 18, power the communication machine. Have you ever wondered how you can speak more effectively and clearly when you need to persuade someone? Well, the solution to this particular conundrum is not speech classes, but better breathing. Yes, you heard that right. Better breathing. You see, the human brain can only function at full capacity if it's getting enough oxygen. And you can only get sufficient oxygen if you're breathing well. Most of us, out of habit, perform shallow chest breathing. Chest breathing occurs when you overuse your chest muscles when you breathe. This is common in folks who have to work at desks all day. Since the diaphragm is squeezed in, people find it easier to breathe using mostly their chest muscles. This results in shallow, stale breaths. It won't kill you, but it won't help you think clearly either. To remedy this problem, I invite you to speak during the in-breath. What is the in-breath? The in-breath is simply the moment when you inhale air. I want you to practice speaking right after you've taken in a gulp of air. Doing so will steadily increase the amount of oxygen being fed to your brain at the moment that you need it the most during social interaction. Does it work? Well, we can find that out right now. Here's a simple exercise to see if the in-breath does make you think more clearly and more creatively. I want you to imagine an apple right now, but I want you to imagine it as you exhale. Keep exhaling as you imagine it, and I want you to remember what the apple looked like as you were imagining it in your mind. All right, keep that image intact in your memory because there is a step number two. And in step number two, I want you to imagine another apple, but this time do so as you are inhaling. Remember what the second apple looked like. When you are done imagining the second apple, I want you to compare both apples. Which apple looks more scrumptious and fresh? And which apple looked a little withered? 9 times out of 10, the answer would be apple number 2. So the same thing applies when we try to think and express ourselves during exhalation or the out-breath. Our ideas and words become stale and unattractive. Inversely, when we try to express ourselves during the in-breath, all of our ideas become crisp and fresh, just like the second apple. Number 19, raise the energy in interactions easily. Often we find ourselves in the position where we have to really raise the energy and excitement during a social interaction. Excitement can get people to say yes even before they fully understood what is being laid down on the table. Emotions are a magnificent influence tool because people tend to follow what they feel emotionally rather than what their logic is telling them. In the world of body language, excitement and energy is expressed through passion. How can you express your own passion during a social interaction? Again, we look at the different divisions of the human body. In a previous section, you have become acquainted with a plane of balance and power, which is located near the navel. The plane that you need if you want to express pure passion is located near the center of the chest, right next to the heart. Gestures of passion should come from the chest instead of the navel. When you gesture from the navel, you become more serene and balanced. However, it's hard to get excited about something if you're gesturing from this horizontal plane. You need to gesture from your chest so that you will gain an instant energy boost physically and mentally. When you signal from the chest, the body automatically responds and you will feel a sudden surge of vigor and energy. This sudden surge will also be felt by your audience. This technique is so powerful that you can have your audience literally at the edge of their seats within a few minutes of using this plane. You'll be able to gesture well in this region of the body because you'll feel safe and confident gesturing here, even if it's near the heart and the lungs. You'll feel confident because although the gesturing plane is near the heart, it is protected by a tough encasement of bones. You will feel invulnerable whenever you gesture from this plane. However, be very careful when you're using this particular plane because people can easily associate your passion with aggression. You can try combining two planes within a social interaction to produce a more balanced energy level during the entire dialogue. Number 20, tactical facial expressions get the job done. Facial expressions have the same weight and impact as hand gestures, arm movements, and handshakes. In fact, whenever a person speaks, the receiver of the message during a live interaction looks at the face for clues as to whether the speaker is telling the truth or lying. The human brain is capable of processing visual cues more efficiently and more quickly than verbal cues. This is the reason why the brain is looking for half of the message through body language. Without body language, the brain has to work overtime to decipher what is really being communicated. Now, the first thing that you have to remember about the face is to never, ever cover your mouth and jawline whenever you're speaking. Believe it or not, your audience wants and needs to see this area when you're talking because the brain is decoding lip movement alongside the verbal message. If you don't believe me, try this little exercise. Try talking to a friend or colleague and cover your mouth completely with a hand or handkerchief as you talk. Make sure that your voice is loud enough during the conversation. Observe how the other party reacts to your mouth cover. After a few minutes, remove the mouth cover and observe the other party's reaction. 9 times out of 10, the other party would look and feel relieved that you've removed that mouth cover. If you want to bring your hand near your mouth, do so without covering the region. You can try to bring the audience's attention to your mouth so that they would focus on specific parts of your speech. Here are some more tips to boost the results of all of your efforts. Number 1, when you want to give your audience a gentle smile, do so as you breathe in. This will open up the entirety of the face and it will lend a gentler and more warmer aura to your smile as well. Number 2, when a member of your audience talks to you, raise your eyebrows slightly to signal that you recognize that person's input and you're ready to listen. And number 3, when someone is speaking, lean slightly toward his or her direction to signal that you're listening intently to what he or she has to say.